I am the prosecutor. I represent the state. These opening words introduce us to Rusty Savick, Chief Deputy Prosecutor of Kendall County, whose life is about to unravel spectacularly. When fellow prosecutor Carolyn Polamis is found murdered, bound with ropes in a sexually suggestive position, Rusty is assigned to lead the investigation. The critical detail he conceals from his boss? He and the victim had a brief but intense affair that ended with his devastating rejection. This conflict of interest sets in motion a chain of events that exposes the fragility of a justice system built on human fallibility. The investigation takes a shocking turn when Raymond Horgan loses the election and the new prosecutor, Nico DeLaGuardia, indicts Rusty for Carolyn's murder. The evidence seems damning. Rusty's fingerprints on a glass in her apartment, phone records showing he called her the night of her murder, and carpet fibers matching those from his home. Suddenly, the man who spent 12 years putting criminals behind bars finds himself trapped in the system he once controlled. What drives a respected prosecutor with a stable marriage to risk everything for an affair? Rusty's obsession with Carolyn began during a disturbing child abuse case. Despite his marriage to Barbara, an introverted mathematician, and their young son, Rusty became consumed by Carolyn's magnetic presence, her torrents of blonde hair, full bosom, and long red nails. Watching Carolyn's tenderness with a traumatized child transformed his physical attraction into something deeper. Their relationship was fundamentally unbalanced. Rusty approached her prayerfully, while she took command, preferring rough sex and deliberately mentioning his wife during intimate moments. When she ended the affair, her cold grow-up response left him wishing she were dead. Rusty's precise, detached narrative voice conceals profound psychological turmoil. His character was shaped by his father, a Yugoslav immigrant survivor with a dragon-scaled heart, too clotted to show affection, and his mentally ill mother, whose excessive and ungovernable behavior included wild mood swings but also unconditional love, creating a template for the acceptance he later seeks from both women. Rusty's murder trial becomes a masterclass in legal strategy. Judge Lauren Lytle, typically anti-prosecution, surprisingly offers an immediate trial date. Prosecutors build their case on physical evidence and jealousy, claiming Rusty killed Carolyn after discovering her affair with Raymond Horgan. Defense attorney Sandy Stern methodically dismantles their case by trapping witnesses in contradictions and exposing Horgan's unprofessional relationship with Carolyn. The pivotal moment comes when Stern forces the medical examiner to admit Carolyn had undergone a tubal ligation years earlier, making it impossible she would have used the spermicide found at the scene, suggesting evidence tampering. When prosecutors desperately call Rusty's psychiatrist, Judge Lytle warns against violating physician-patient privilege. Tommy Molto's brazen question about a confession receives a clear no, destroying their final attempt. Furious with Molto's conduct, Lytle dismisses the jury and grants acquittal. The courtroom becomes theater where truth is secondary to performance, with contradicting witnesses and missing evidence, a dynamic mirrored in life where perception trumps reality. As Rusty prepares for trial, a mysterious B file emerges, an anonymous letter about a deputy prosecutor taking bribes. Rusty discovers Carolyn had secretly searched police archives before her death, looking for someone named Noel, arrested for public indecency. Officer Canali reveals corruption was rampant in North Branch and drops a bombshell. Carolyn had been sleeping with Judge Lytle, who's now presiding over Rusty's murder trial. Detective LePranzer locates Leon, not a wealthy white man as Rusty imagined, but a closeted gang lieutenant. Leon confirms paying a $1,500 bribe, but to the judge, not the prosecutor. Carolyn had orchestrated the scheme as a probation officer. This explains Lytle's favorable rulings during trial. Sandy Stern strategically mentioned the B-file repeatedly, appearing to target Molto while actually pressuring Lytle, who feared exposure of his corrupt past. The strategy works. Lytle grants an acquittal, protecting his reputation while freeing Rusty. Freedom brings Rusty relief mixed with depression and anger. His marriage crumbles despite Barbara's support during the trial. When he suggests relocating, Barbara announces she's taken a teaching job in Detroit and plans to take their son with her. The pivotal revelation comes when LaPranzer delivers the missing glass from Carolyn's apartment, still bearing Rusty's fingerprints. Rusty then shares his theory. Barbara killed Carolyn in a jealous rage. She stole a glass with his fingerprints, collected his semen from her diaphragm, called Carolyn, then murdered her with an iron tool from her father's collection. She staged it as a rape, planting evidence only Rusty would recognize. Rusty won't pursue prosecution for their son's sake, revealing that Barbara actually left him. LaPranzer remains doubtful, questioning why Barbara would make mistakes that could implicate Rusty if she understood police procedures. The ordeal leaves Rusty with insomnia and midnight terrors about imprisonment. Standing at his son's door, listening to his breathing, he's overcome with tenderness and dread of separation. After DeLaGuardia's recall election defeat, Rusty becomes the acting caretaker PA of Kendall County, accepting this temporary role while the murder remains officially unsolved. Rusty now travels to Detroit on weekends to see Barbara, their marriage existing in a fragile limbo, neither thriving nor ended. Their son Nathaniel finds some comfort in their continued legal union, though he senses its fragility. Thoughts of Carolyn no longer carry their former intensity. Rusty now understands how her apparent triumph over suffering attracted him, the way she wore trauma like elegant armor. His pursuit stemmed from everlasting hope, a reach for the exaltation, the passion, and the moment. Yet he now recognizes her fundamental flaws, her troubled vanity, emotional superficiality, and the poverty of feeling that reduced her soul. The novel transcends typical legal thrillers through its masterful ambiguity. Key questions remain unresolved. Did Barbara commit the murder? Was Rusty's theory merely psychological self-protection? These open questions transform readers into jurors, determining the truth themselves. Presumed Innocent confronts uncomfortable realities about our justice system. The principle that defendants are innocent until proven guilty is exposed as a noble but fragile ideal. Rusty experiences firsthand how quickly this presumption vanishes when media and public opinion have already determined guilt. The novel's power comes from its refusal to offer simple answers. Was justice served by Rusty's acquittal? If Barbara committed the murder, was it justified vengeance or calculated violence? If Rusty is guilty, has he constructed an alternative reality to preserve his self-image? These questions challenge our beliefs about justice, truth, and personal narratives. In a world demanding certainty, the novel suggests that embracing ambiguity might be more honest, acknowledging that truth, like justice, rarely exists in absolutes. The profound lesson is that justice systems remain vulnerable to human frailty. Those upholding justice are themselves subject to ambition and fear. Our challenge is to maintain humanity while recognizing limitations, striving for justice while accepting it may always remain just beyond reach.